Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we are strapping in for a pretty high-stakes look at the very near future of finance. Specifically, how artificial intelligence, you know, the engine of innovation, is about to collide head-on with UK regulators. We're talking about a moment of reckoning, a critical mandatory turning point for AI in UK financial services, and it's scheduled for 2026. And this isn't just, you know, theoretical chatter about ethics. This is about immediate career-defining liability. We've framed this whole deep dive around a really essential source document. It's an analysis titled The FCA's AI Reckoning, How UK Financial Services Can Navigate the 2026, and it's by Rob Healy. And this document, it's basically a roadmap, a practical roadmap for everyone. The big banks, the insurance giants, the fintech accounts, we're all facing these massive enforceable new mandates from the FCA, the Bank of England, and the ICO. It outlines not just technical challenges, but what you could call existential career risks.
That's right. And if you're listening to this, whether you're a compliance officer, a CEO, or just fascinated by how we govern these huge technological shifts, our mission today is critical. We need to unpack and do it pretty quickly what this shift from focusing on AI potential to focusing on personal liability really means. We're going to be digging into the implications for governance, for the technology itself, and maybe most importantly, for the senior managers whose professional lives are now on the line.
Right. The central shift here, and the source material absolutely hammers this home, is that we're moving past aspirational guidelines. For years, it was all talk about safe AI and, you know, voluntary frameworks. But the UK trifecta, the FCA, the Bank of England, the ICO, they're done with the soft language. They are demanding accountable AI.
And that's not a philosophical debate.
No. It's a hard compliance requirement. It has measurable outcomes-based expectations and, crucially, very specific punitive enforcement mechanisms attached.
Exactly. And for you, the learner, getting your head around this is essential because it fundamentally changes the whole strategic conversation. UK financial firms, look, they're going to adopt AI. That ship has sailed. But the difference between success and, well, disaster rests entirely on how they govern it. Rigorous audit-ready governance is now the only way to avoid these crippling fines and, maybe even more powerfully, individual sanctions against the people responsible for these systems.
That tension. Risk versus reward.
Yeah.
That's the core of the 2026 challenge. Okay, let's unpack this silent regulatory shift because it really wasn't a sudden explosion, was it? It was more like a slow, steady tightening of the framework.
Not at all, yeah. It's been a slow burn.
And when you just look back, say, 5 years ago, the whole narrative around AI and finance was pure innovation, unadulterated potential.
Absolutely. It was all about the unprecedented efficiency gains in algorithmic trading, hyper-personalized customer advice, massive cost saving,
right.
Fraud detection, onboarding.
Right.
It was all about maximizing that potential. And that potential is still there, of course.
Yeah.
Billions are being invested. But the regulator's perspective has completely flipped the risk equation. The source material makes a great point that 2026 isn't just some random date. It's the turning point because it marks the full implementation of this robust outcomes-based framework.
And it's coming from all three, the FCA, the Bank of England.
And the ICO, the data watchdog. They're no longer just sitting back and watching the innovation happen. They are actively and jointly dictating the terms of deployment. They're demanding measurable governance outcomes before, during, and after you press go.
So this key concept, accountable AI, let's spend a minute here. What does that actually mean in an operational sense? Is it just more paperwork or is it something deeper?
It's much deeper. What's so interesting is that accountable AI means moving the focus away from the tech's complexity and putting it squarely onto the regulatory outcome. You can use the most sophisticated model in the world, but the firm has to be able to demonstrate with hard evidence and audit trails that the outcomes from that AI are fair, transparent, and resilient.
So if the AI causes some kind of systemic harm, like a data breach, or discriminating against a group of people,
then the blame can't just evaporate into the complex code. The accountability has to land somewhere concrete. And you have to be able to prove it.
And that brings us to the main regulatory lever, the thing that gives this whole framework its teeth, the explicit link between an algorithmic failure and the SMNCR.
The senior managers and certification regime.
For our listeners who might not be deep in UK regulation, can you just quickly sketch out why the SMNCR is so, well, terrifying to senior leadership and why tying it to AI is such a big deal?
Certainly. The SMNCR basically came out of the 2008 financial crisis. It was designed to make sure senior people in finance could be held personally accountable for failures at their firms.
So it establishes clear responsibilities.
Prescribed responsibilities, yes. Before, it mostly applied to human actions, you know, failures in compliance oversight or managing conflicts of interest. Now, by extending it to AI, the FCA is saying an algorithm isn't just a tool anymore. It's an extension of that senior manager's own decision making.
So that's the hammer.
That is the hammer.
The SMNCR linkage just fundamentally changes the risk calculation for individuals.
Mm.
Before, if an algorithm went wrong, the bank got a fine. It was a corporate loss.
A cost of doing business, often. Precisely. Now, the question isn't about the firm's P&L. It's about the named senior manager's career. The consequence is designed as a potent deterrent. The firm's focus has to shift from just adopting AI to building governance that can defend against financial loss, reputational damage, and most powerfully,
protecting individuals from personal sanctions.
Personal sanctions, we're talking huge fines and even a permanent ban from the entire industry.
So it transforms what used to be a tech decision, which AI model to use, how much autonomy to give it, into a C-suite personal risk management decision.
Hmm.
No CEO or chief risk officer can look at AI anymore and just say, that's an IT problem.
No. The source argues it's now inherently a governance problem that hits them directly and personally, forces engagement. The FCA is basically signaling that the era of experimentation, where you could deploy a model and just apologize later, that's over, at least for high-stakes customer-facing systems.
So whether you're a big bank or a tiny fintech.
It doesn't matter. If you choose to deploy AI, you have to treat it with the same or even greater level of oversight and auditability that you apply to high-stakes human decisions. And the lack of that documentation, that governance paper trail, that's what the regulator will use to pin a sanction on an individual. That paper trail becomes the manager's personal insurance policy.
That sets the stage beautifully. Let's dive into the first big operational challenge these firms are facing as they race toward 2026, the explainability crisis. This is the classic problem, isn't it? The problem of these complex AI models being treated as black boxes.
Exactly. We're talking about systems so sophisticated, deep learning models with billions of parameters that their inner workings are, and I'm quoting the source here, opaque even to their highly skilled creators.
And that complexity is really the enemy of regulation.
It's a fundamental conflict. In the old world, if a loan officer denied your application, they could point to three or four clear reasons: insufficient income, bad credit history, whatever. But with deep learning, the decision path involves all these nonlinear functions and vast weightings. It's just not straightforward.
So you've got the regulator demanding transparency and fairness. They want you to be able to defend every decision that affects a customer. But if the algorithm itself is proprietary and is shifting its logic every minute, how do you defend an adverse decision to a customer, or even worse, to an FCA inquiry?
That's the tension right there. You're basically forced to say, well, the model produced this result, but we can't show you the exact path it took. And the regulator's just not accepting that as a defense anymore. They're asking why that specific output happened. And they want proof that it was fair and unbiased.
And this whole thing is being amplified by two massive regulatory forces that are converging in 2026. What are the specifics on the transparency mandates?
Well, you've got the FCA's updated consumer duty and the established model risk management, or MRM, principles.
Consumer duty is the big one, isn't it?
It's arguably the more aggressive mandate, yes. It requires firms to deliver good outcomes for customers, provide fair value, ensure clear communication. An opaque AI decision that leads to a bad outcome for a customer puts the firm in immediate breach of that duty.
And MRM, which used to be for more traditional quantitative models, is now being stretched to cover these complex AI systems.
Exactly. MRM has always been about validation and documentation, but it struggled with machine learning models that evolve or drift after deployment. The 2026 mandate basically says you can't just validate it once. You have to continuously validate, document, and monitor its behavior, especially its explainability.
And failure to do that
ties directly back to that SMNCR liability. It shows a lack of adequate controls.
So let's get specific. What do firms actually have to provide to satisfy the SCA? The source uses this phrase, meaningful information. What does that look like in practice?
It means going way beyond just listing the inputs. It means providing a traceable, replicable path from the data you put in through the model's key decisions to the final outcome for the customer. You have to demonstrate causality and, crucially, fairness validation.
So you have to be able to show your work.
You have to show your work. For example, if your new insurance premium model is super efficient, but it's indirectly penalizing people from a certain postcode because of historical data biases, you have to be able to surface that mechanism, measure the effect, and prove you've taken steps to fix it.
That sounds like a monumental task. You're talking about forensic-level auditing for every single transaction.
It is, and think about the scale. This applies across the whole ecosystem, millions of decisions a day. The source cites a few areas where the scrutiny will be the most fierce.
I'm guessing the highly sensitive stuff.
Absolutely. The three big ones are credit scoring, loan approvals, and insurance premiums.
Places where an algorithm's decision can cause real economic hardship.
Exactly. Imagine an AI denying a small business loan. The regulator needs to know if that was based on legitimate risk factors or if the model just learned an unfair correlation from biased historical data. That's indirect discrimination, and it's powered by opacity.
So the regulatory risk is clear. The firm has to proactively prove their algorithms don't create foreseeable harm. The burden of proof has completely shifted.
It rests squarely on the firm and, by extension, on its senior leadership under SMNCR.
And if they can't prove it?
The legal consequences are already written into UK law. Without that clear, auditable explainability, you're immediately open to massive fines, a flood of customer complaints under consumer duty, and critically, accusations of breaching the Equality Act 2010.
Ah, that's a powerful connection.
It's huge. If an algorithm has an adverse impact that relates even indirectly to a protected characteristic, race, gender, age, your inability to explain the model's logic becomes a direct legal vulnerability.
So a lack of tech transparency becomes a breach of anti-discrimination law. What used to be technical debt is now a massive legal liability.
It binds technology, regulation, and social governance together. The complexity of AI is no longer a shield. It's a liability unless you have the robust documentation to prove fairness. This is why the black box can't survive 2026. If you can't explain it, the FCA says you can't use it.
Okay, so we've established the need to explain decisions. Let's move to challenge two, which is about a different kind of risk. It's about speed, scale, and independence. We're talking about the risk from agentic AI. The source describes these as autonomous systems making independent, high-stakes decisions without real-time human supervision.
This is truly the new frontier of risk because the speed of potential failure is just. It's exponential. We're moving beyond models that just give a recommendation to systems that can autonomously execute.
What kind of examples are we talking about?
Well, the source cites the core functions, AI that's actively executing complex trades in milliseconds, moving significant funds based on market signals, or even making independent customer service decisions that legally bind the firm. These things happen faster than any human can react, which introduces a whole new kind of systemic risk.
And the regulatory response is focused on securing these systems against catastrophic failure, right?
Yeah.
Recognizing you can't rely on a human to step in fast enough.
Exactly. There are two major interlocking frameworks cited here. First, the UK Treasury's designation of critical third parties, or CTPs.
So this is about vendors.
Yes. Many firms use external vendors for the sophisticated AI. If you use a third-party vendor for a critical AI function, that vendor and your firm are now under direct enhanced regulatory scrutiny. If they fail, the regulator treats it as if you failed.
So you can't outsource the risk.
You own 100% of the risk, precisely. And the second framework is the Bank of England's relentless focus on operational resilience. That's SYSC15A.
Operational resilience. What does that mean in practice for an AI system?
It means the firm has to define its maximum acceptable level of disruption. They call them impact tolerances, and prove its critical functions can continue even when things go wrong. And the BOE has made it crystal clear that a failing autonomous AI system is a significant operational shock.
So you have to be able to prove through stress testing that if your trading AI goes rogue, the damage won't exceed your predefined limits.
You have to prove you can control it, stop it, and recover from its failure quickly. It puts a huge burden on the architecture. Resilience has to be built in from day one.
This brings us to the human in the loop concept. This used to be talked about as a sort of optional safety net.
Nice to have.
But under these 2026 rules for high stakes decisions, it sounds like it's absolutely non-optional now.
Absolutely. The source makes it clear that full, unsupervised autonomy in critical functions is now a major regulatory red flag. The human in the loop has to transform from a passive monitor, someone watching a dashboard, into a robust, instantaneous, and tested override mechanism, a kill switch.
So for any big decision, executing a trade, moving capital, you must have a documented process and the tech to intervene immediately.
Immediately, before catastrophic harm occurs. If you can't pull the plug quickly and cleanly, you can't prove operational resilience. And if you can't prove that, you're going to get a visit from the regulator.
And the potential risks here are truly severe, aren't they? What are the big catastrophic outcomes that keep regulators up at night?
The source lists a few. First, the potential for an unsupervised agent to trigger market instability. A failure could accelerate into a flash crash far beyond anything we've ever seen.
And what about data and compliance?
Well, second, there's the risk of unintended data sharing. An AI optimized for efficiency might send sensitive customer data across borders simply because it's the fastest route, creating a massive data breach. And third, the danger of making erroneous financial recommendations at scale. One faulty AI agent could issue millions of incorrect insurance quotes or deny thousands of loans in minutes.
Which would be a huge breach of consumer duty.
A massive liability. The core message here is if you build a high-performance self-driving car, you better have a robust, verifiable brake pedal that you have practiced using under pressure.
And that brake pedal is subject to a regulatory audit.
A verifiable, tested brake pedal, yes. The 2026 framework demands proof. You have to prove you've defined your impact tolerances and that you can pull the plug without exceeding them.
Okay, we've covered the tech opacity and the operational risks. Now let's pivot to the challenge that truly elevates the stakes for the individual manager: the explicit extension of SMNCR liability to AI oversight. This is where the rubber really meets the road for the C-suite.
This is the epicenter of the whole thing. It's the most powerful deterrent. It reinforces that core principle. Delegating a task to an algorithm no longer absolves a senior manager of responsibility for its outcome.
It's a profound shift.
It fundamentally transforms the managerial role. The source is clear. The buck stops at the named individual on the accountability map. The risk has moved from the firm's balance sheet to the manager's personal career.
So they become personally responsible for the governance framework around the AI.
Exactly. If the AI fails and causes significant harm, the question the regulator asks isn't how did the code break, it's what reasonable steps did the senior manager take to prevent this?
So what does that entail, this reasonable steps requirement? What does the manager have to be able to prove they've done?
They need to meticulously document three critical things. First, they took reasonable steps to prevent AI-driven misconduct. That means proactive fairness audits, bias testing, dry runs, all before deployment. Second, that adequate controls are in place. This speaks directly to those kill switch protocols we talked about. The manager has to attest that these controls are designed and regularly tested. And third, and this is maybe the hardest one, they must prove they fully understand the risks posed by the AI tools under their watch.
Okay, that third point, I want to dig into that. Fully understand the risks. If a senior manager is focused on strategy and budgets, not machine learning, how can they genuinely claim to fully understand the risks of a complex, evolving model? Isn't the FCA setting an impossible standard?
That is the crux of the personal accountability crisis. It's a critical tension. The SMNCR isn't asking the manager to become a data scientist, but it is demanding they become an expert risk manager of the technology. They have to understand the model's limitations, its data dependencies, its potential for drift.
So they need to understand the governance failure modes.
Exactly. For instance, they need to know that if the training data gets poisoned, the model's outcomes will be compromised, and they need to have controls to detect that. Their entire defense in a regulatory inquiry will rest on the quality of the documentation that proves they established and enforced those structures. If they just signed off on it without asking the right questions, they've failed their personal duty.
Wow. So internal reporting on AI risk becomes less of a tech update, more of a high-stakes legal brief.
Absolutely. Every sign-off, every risk committee meeting, it all becomes potential evidence in a future hearing.
So let's paint the picture. What happens if an AI model causes systemic bias or a data breach and the manager can't defend themselves with their reasonable steps documentation?
It leads to what you could call professional exile. It's a trifecta of devastation. First, personal sanctions. We're talking significant six-figure fines paid by the individual. Second, career-crippling reputational damage. They become essentially unemployable in the regulated sector, and worst of all, a permanent ban from the financial services industry. The FCA has shown it's willing to use this banhammer, and AI failure is a brand new, highly visible way to get hit by it.
That really is the ultimate deterrent against a set-it-and-forget-it approach to AI, isn't it? It makes the Q4 board meeting less about ROI and more about personal indemnity insurance.
It forces managers to engage deeply and continuously. If you know a governance failure could end your career, you're going to make sure the controls, the auditability, and the defensibility of that system are prioritized above everything else. Accountability moves from being a line item on a corporate budget to a life-altering personal concern.
Okay, so we have clearly established the stakes. crippling fines, reputational hits, career bans. Let's shift the focus now, as the source does, from risk to solution. This requires more than just new policies. It requires a proactive, evidence-based, audit-ready AI governance framework.
Indeed. The solutions were all about transforming those risks, the black boxes, the autonomous systems, into defensible, documented assets. Let's start with solving explainability, which leans on this concept of the AI bomb.
The AI bill of materials audits. I love that term. It makes the abstract concept of software feel physical and traceable.
It's the perfect analogy. The AI bomb is basically a machine-readable inventory. It maps every AI model, its data flows, its decision logic, and its performance over time. The source stresses that this inventory is what provides that meaningful information the FCA requires. Without this map, you can't trace a failing model's logic.
And what kind of details need to be in this AI bomb?
It has to be granular. The model version, the exact source and date of the training data, the input features used, why certain features were excluded, and critically documented evidence of fairness testing. It's the model's birth certificate, user manual, and performance review all in one.
And alongside the AI boom, you have logic trace audits. How do they work to turn a black box into a transparent pathway when a regulator comes knocking?
The logic trace audit is your mechanism of defense. It's designed to follow a single customer decision, a rejected mortgage, say backwards through the entire algorithm. It documents the exact path and isolates which variables led to that specific outcome. This provides the defensibility you need to prove compliance with Consumer Duty and the Equality Act.
So you're shifting the defense from trust us, it's fair, to here is the documented step-by-step logic.
Exactly. It's a continuous real-time logging requirement, which needs specialized technology that just wasn't mandatory 5 years ago.
Okay, moving to the solution for agentic AI, hardening operational resilience. What are the key preventative mechanisms?
The first and most crucial are the kill switch protocols. This means implementing robust, instantaneous, and tested human-in-the-loop mechanisms. They have to be integrated into the architecture itself.
Not just a procedural afterthought.
No. If the AI starts behaving erratically, the human must be able to halt the system instantly and cleanly.
And this needs to be proven through rigorous operational resilience testing, linking back to that Bank of England SYSC 15A rule.
Absolutely. The regulator demands proof, not promises. You have to test the AI under stress conditions, market shocks, bad data, to ensure that if it fails, the disruption doesn't exceed your predefined tolerance level. You have to prove the kill switch works every single time under the worst possible conditions.
And finally, let's address the most potent challenge, SM&CR liability. How does a firm strategically shield its senior leadership?
It's all about structured, verifiable accountability. The main solution is granular accountability mapping. This process precisely identifies which senior manager has the prescribed responsibility for each and every AI model. There can be zero ambiguity. If a model fails, the regulator knows immediately whose desk it lands on.
But just naming the manager isn't a defense. It just names the target.
Correct. The core of the defense is establishing the necessary audit trails and reasonable steps documentation. This documentation must prove continuous oversight. It must show the manager did their due diligence, commissioned the necessary controls, the AI bombs, the fairness audits, the kill switches, and maintained oversight. That paper trail is the manager's legal defense. It proves they were diligent and responsible.
The source also mentions a final layer of protection going beyond compliance, things like proactive fairness as a service audits.
This is the forward-looking strategy. It involves stress testing AI models specifically against the Equality Act and Consumer Duty before the regulators force the issue. The goal isn't just to comply, but to ensure the models genuinely deliver fair value and don't inadvertently create or reinforce systemic bias. This proactive testing is essential for protecting customers and the firm's long-term reputation.
So if we look at this whole regulatory environment, it seems the conclusion is that the 2026 framework isn't a barrier to AI innovation. It's more of a call for responsible deployment.
Precisely. By implementing this robust evidence-based governance, the AI bombs, the kill switches, the accountability mapping firms can turn these challenges into a strategic advantage. They build trust with customers and regulators, they ensure fairness, and they future-proof their operations. This rigorous governance is just the cost of doing business now. Those who adapt will lead the pack.
That was a dense, high-impact deep dive. Let's do a quick recap of the three critical challenges facing UK financial services as they head toward 2026. First, the explainability crisis. You have to turn those opaque black boxes into something transparent and auditable using tools like the AI bomb.
Second, the agentic autonomy paradox. You need that operational resilience and those mandatory kill switch protocols to manage the risks of high-speed independent agents.
And third, the massive personal threat of senior manager liability, where a governance failure around an algorithm means direct individual sanctions, career failure.
The key takeaway for you, the listener, is that the UK regulatory environment has completed its shift. Understanding this move from just seeking safe AI to demanding accountable AI is essential. Governance is now the critical choke point for technological advancement.
That leaves us with our final provocative thought for you to mull over. If the entire premise of this 2026 regulatory model is built on the idea that humans, senior managers, must ultimately take personal responsibility for a machine's autonomous decisions by having taken reasonable steps to fully understand and control it, what happens when the underlying AI complexity grows so vast and dynamic, evolving minute by minute, that no single senior manager, no matter how diligent, can truly satisfy that requirement of taking reasonable steps to understand and control it? Where does accountability truly rest then? And is the current SMNCR model ultimately sustainable in a financial world dominated by hyper-complex, self-optimizing autonomous agents? We'll leave that with you. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive.